Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The word intimate is overused when describing music, especially in the singer-songwriter genre, but my guest today takes you into his home on his debut album Beginning, literally. 20-year-old Matthew Fowler recorded the album over a period of years in his family's Orlando kitchen, capturing his striking voice and cozy songwriting that, to my ears, recalls everyone from Dylan and Paul Simon to Glenn Hansard. Arizona in the snow, and the feeling of being free, to the canyon I did go, with some friends so dear to me. Fowler has also recorded an EP with Reggie Williams called Bring a Friend, the name of the current tour that's taking him around the country, appropriate for a young artist with two songs named Leaving Home. It's my pleasure to welcome Matthew Fowler to our studios and to the Roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Tell me about the music scene in Orlando, because, and no offense, but when I think of that part of Florida and music, like, Limp Bizkit comes to mind.
The music scene in Orlando is interesting. You know, I love Orlando because I grew up there, but at the same time, I grew up there, so I kind of hate it at the same time, you know. But there's a lot of, like, rock and roll, like, southern rock. There's a lot of punk bands, DIY stuff. And there are some great songwriters there, but it's definitely not the place for singer-songwriters.
So out of that comes your musicianship. How did that start?
How did that start playing in Orlando?
I mean, if you're not hearing a lot of the kind of music that you play, how did you start playing your stuff?
I think I just always gravitated towards what I liked. I growing up in Orlando, you go to a bunch of ska shows and, you know, there's all that kind of stuff going on. And certainly I grew up listening to that. But at the same time, I was always inspired by, you know, the older stuff like Dylan and Simon and Garfunkel and Neil Young and all those guys. And then getting into the contemporary stuff when I started playing guitar when I turned 14. My parents bought me a guitar, and that was kind of like the catalyst for everything, because I'd always been kind of that music kid, you know, the stereotypical, like, music kid, just, you know, listening to music all the time. And my parents, you know, kind of decided that if, you know, you listen to music all the time, why don't you learn how to play guitar? And so they bought it for me, and my birthday's over the summer, so I spent the summer kind of learning a few chords from friends and started singing, and it just came very natural, writing and all that stuff.
Did you play any instruments before guitar?
I was in band, like in middle school. Played the clarinet and the bass clarinet, and I remember all the positions for it, but not. It's been a long time since I played it. Since guitar, everything just kind of like faded away. Since 14, I started, you know, really getting into it, and then I, you know, discovered like kind of the more contemporary singer songwriters like Glenn Hansard for sure is. Like my number one.
Fair comparison then.
Well, yeah, thank you for that, by the way. Every time I hear his name and my name in the same sentence, I cry a little bit. It's awesome. But yeah, like Glenn Hansard and you know, Ryan Adams and Ray LaMontagne and even like, you know, guys like Jeff Buckley and that whole vein of stuff really was like very unlike what was on the radio at the time that I was growing up. And I thought it was amazing. So I always gravitated towards that kind of stuff.
When do you find out who you are as a musician? Because a lot of people, when they get started, they're learning cover songs, you know, they're going through the Dylan songbook, teaching themselves chords and stuff. At what point does the songwriting come in for you?
Well, since 14, I've been kind of dabbling with songwriting. I did, so my parents back home, my dad is a chef back in Orlando, and he opened a restaurant when I was young, and I actually got started playing very much what you said, covers and stuff around Orlando. I played at bars and, you know, weddings and all sorts of stuff since I was like 14 or 15. So I've been doing that for a while. But at the same time, I never played like, you know, top 40 stuff. I just played whatever I wanted to play. But I always put my own spin on whatever it was. So I think that was really great for me because I learned, it's a great way to learn how to play music in general, play guitar, you know, taking songs that you like and learning how to play them. You know, it got you familiar with different chord structures and that kind of stuff. And then through there, I mean, you know, writing all the time, and I kind of learned to kind of use my own voice, I guess. I feel like I grew up pretty fast. Like, worked in the restaurant for a while. It was a fine dining restaurant. So I was like bussing tables as a kid, you know, trying to pretend like I was 20 years old. And now that I am 20 years old, I feel like I'm 50 years old. You know, I just feel like an old man.
Hold that thought for a sec, because we're going to have to come back and talk about your voice, your singing voice. I want to go back to your parents, though.
Sure.
I understand your dad's South African, your mom's from Mauritius.
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of influence does that have on, A, you know, just your life growing up in the U.S. and then, you know, B, your music?
Well, it was interesting. I had a very different childhood, I would say, than a lot of typical American people. And to me, I felt like my family was so different than all the other kids that I went to school with. My parents were very loud, passionate, emotional people, extremely emotional. You know, you walk into the house and you can hear us from a block away. You know, we're just talking. And because my dad's a chef, the kitchen is such a central part of the house. And there's five of us who live at the house at home, but my grandparents also moved here shortly after my parents did. So at the house at any given time, there's like, you know, six or seven people, and they're all loud and we're all interacting with each other. So it's kind of a chaotic thing. But at the same time, you know, my dad didn't go to culinary school. He just wanted to be a chef, always cooked his whole life, and opened a restaurant. My mom, you know, we're all kind of entrepreneurial. We kind of decide what it is we want to do and then go for it 100%. Many, you know, maybe to our fault, but that's kind of what I love my parents for. They're very passionate, and they're, you know, I think I've learned from them to, like, you know, if you're going to do something, do it 100%. If you believe that you can do it, do it.
You being in music and, you know, recording your first album, going out on the road, that's not rebellion. They're supportive.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I think, you know, I mean, there's always a give and take period. Like, parents were a little bit worried because, you know, the common trope for a musician is, you know, they're kind of poor for a long time, kind of wandering gypsy kind of thing.
A lot of couches.
I mean, and that's kind of the way it is now. I mean, we do a lot of couch surfing and, you know, kind of like showers every other day. But I mean, it's an exciting lifestyle, and it's been going well. You know, things have been going well, you know, kind of building up a small following in the place that we're going. So it's much easier for me to quantifiably show them, like, this is the progress that I've been making in just the short time that I've been really going for it. So it's easier for them to be a little bit more supportive. And yeah, I mean, we're a very open family. You know, we're the kind of people who, if there was an argument, we'd you know, dish it out. We'd yell at each other and get it out of our system and then talk about it. And then we were okay. You know, it goes from crazy and chaotic to, hey, can I make you a sandwich in like 5 minutes, you know? But I kind of like that because it, you know, there was never any kind of hidden things. There's no strange undertones of things. It was very much like, we're the kind of people who, if we feel a certain way, we're going to talk a certain way, and we're going to, you know, let it be known how we feel. And that's kind of the way I approach songwriting, very much the way I write and the way I sing is the way I am as a person, for sure.
Your dad is a chef. You've talked about the chaos of the kitchen.
Right.
But you also recorded your album there.
Yes.
What did that look like? I mean, how did you decide, you know, we'll set the microphones up in this room, and how long did it take?
The songs that I had on it were kind of a collection of songs that I've been writing since I was, like, younger. So definitely the songwriting process was a couple years long. It's just, I had a lot of songs that I'd been playing for a while that I really liked. I'd been playing them for a couple years, and I wanted to do them justice by, you know, finally putting it in a place where people could listen to it. So that's kind of what that album beginning is consisting of. Those songs kind of written from, you know, the first song I ever wrote to, you know, 19 years old or whatever it was. All the recording was done on, you know, I made the joke earlier, like, the microphones that we're talking on are more expensive than the mics we used. It was all done live. It was all just kind of, I had no idea what I was doing. I recorded it myself, basically. I had some friends kind of show me sort of what to do, who'd done it before. So a lot of it was just guessing. It was just like, hey, you know, I'm going to put a microphone here and I'm going to play and hopefully it sounds good. So there was a lot of, like, back and forth. So it took me a while to, A, figure out how to record something and then getting it to the way I wanted it to sound. But it was all done live, and I had a couple friends on the album help me out with like stand-up bass and piano and stuff. And the kitchen was kind of the natural place because it was a little bit farther away from everyone in the room, in the house. And, you know, we could kind of go there like late at night or something, because like I said before, the house is kind of crazy. So, you know, and we got a dog, and you know, there's barking and all sorts of stuff. So finding the time was probably the most difficult part. But I mean, that's kind of like where everything in the family orbited around. Like, that was kind of like the central part. So I felt very comfortable doing it in that kind of environment. To me and ask me where I did it, because it sounds better than, you know, a home recording, and I'm really proud of the job that I did on there. And I wanted to do it all myself for the most part, because I didn't want to have to pay, I didn't pay any money to get this done. All the equipment that we used was all borrowed from just friends who had microphones. It was kind of just like a, you know, a Facebook post, hey, does anybody have a microphone? You know, that's it. Oh, sure. And then I drove over to the kid's house and picked it up for a couple days, and that was it. So the recording process took maybe a couple months, because most of it was like we'd record something and then listen to it and be like, you know, where can we place this mic better to get a better sound? And, you know, a lot of Google searching and like, what's the best way to do this? And we found that the energy of playing live in a room together was so much more than tracking everything separately, that's exactly what I wanted to capture. You know, that kind of like old school way of putting everything on tape, except we didn't have it. You know, tape. It was on a like an 8-track recorder with an SD card in it. So we'd kind of hit record and everything peaked out, and we had to, you know, mixing was its own fun little nightmare. But yeah, I mean, it was all kind of like this homegrown, you know, I kind of went into like caveman mode, and I grew out a beard and my hair was long, and you know, I went into like my room with a cup of coffee and came out every couple hours to get more coffee and then went back in. And it was great to see all these songs that I had for a while finally began to take a shape of their own with other instrumentation and that kind of stuff. That I'm gonna be. Don't fight, sit tight, 'cause sometimes the starlight, oh, it shines upon what you need to see. I feel older than I rightly should. I tried for greatness, then I tried for good.
You sound so much older than you are, and you had this line that I picked out. I feel older than I rightly should. Is that what that's about?
I'm 20 years old, so I graduated high school in 2012. It was one of those things where, like, even when I was in high school, I knew this is exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to play music, and so, you know, I've got all my friends are kind of in college and doing that whole thing, and I felt like I bypassed that whole part of life. You know, I did a semester at a community college because I couldn't afford to go to university, and it was just wasn't what I wanted to do. And, you know, I hear stories about, you know, the kids going to the parties back home, and everyone's kind of still where they were, sort of, you know. And I feel like I kind of feel older. I mean, to quote myself, which is so vain, I can't even fathom it, but I feel older than I rightly should, because I feel like I'm. And I know that this might seem vain as well, but I do believe that. I feel like for 20 years old, I feel like I'm at a different place in life than most people my age are at, in terms of like the way that I view the world and the way that I've already kind of decided what it is that I want to do with myself.
Do you worry that you've missed anything?
I mean, it's hard. I try not to think in those kind of terms, because it doesn't get you anywhere, you know? But I mean, most of the time I'm driving around in the car, so I've got nothing else to think about. But you know, I don't think so. I love traveling and playing, and that's what I want to do. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning, or gets me out of couch. but that was a lame joke. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I want to do, and I don't think I've ever had any doubts about that.
You know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, you could write a hit song, you could get radio play, you mm-hmm. could sell albums, and it seems like the landscape has really changed in the last few years in terms of, you know, what success might be
right.
categorized as.
Right. No, I mean, I think nowadays there's a much more varied level of success. You know, you don't have to be this superstar in order to make a good living and, you know, have a really great fan base. You don't have to have like a hit radio single and make, you know, it's not like $50 million a year or zero. You know, there's a great, just like a decent, really good living. And for a singer-songwriter, I mean, I plan on making music forever, you know, my whole life. So, and I go by my own name. I'm not in like a punk band that has an album and then, you know, they break up because whatever. So I intend to do this for the long run, for sure. And ambition-wise, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a tough question because it's hard to put a limit on what you want, but at the same time, you know, there you know, you got to be somewhat realistic on what it is. And the truth of the matter is, like, you know, someone like the kind of music I play is not necessarily what you would hear on, you know, America's Top 40 or whatever it is, and that doesn't bother me at all. I might be shooting myself in the foot later on. Or whatever. I love playing, and playing live is my favorite thing. I mean, realistically, I'd love to be able to play like theaters, you know, that'd be awesome. If I could roll into any town, play for like 100 people or 500 people and have them all really care and listen. You know, that's the thing for me. I'd rather play for 10 people who are actually listening and really paying attention than, you know, 1,000 people who are just there. I remember when the only person coming to shows was my mom and my dad and my brother, you know. So it's been this interesting progression and you know, kind of coming to terms with, like, you never know who's there listening to you. So you got to, you know, put 100% of yourself into it every time. You know, you don't want to disappoint anybody and you don't want to disappoint yourself.
Do you have a favorite tune off Beginning we should play on the way out here?
I really like the song Beginners. I think that's one of my favorite songs I've ever written, if I can say that about myself.
Well, Matthew Fowler's passing through Albany here on his Bring a Friend tour, and the name of his debut album is Beginning. He also has an EP out with his friend Reggie Williams called Bring a Friend. It's been a real pleasure to have you here in town, and thanks for coming in and seeing us.
Yep, thank you very much for having me.
And that time you said it wasn't worth it to you. I stayed with arms around your waist. Although I'm scared we're way too young, we will never say we're done. 'Cause tears of love and pain will cry. But we are beginners, you and I.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.